Good morning. Welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. My name is Don Shipley. I'll be serving in the service this morning as liturgist. We're so happy that you're here this morning as we invite Christ into our service this morning and into our lives as we begin a prayerful week and a Thanksgiving week. So we're very excited about it. Before we start, if you'll turn to the portion of your bulletin that has some of our announcements, I'll call your attention to some of those. Our family-to-family boxes are now available in the Wilson Activity Center, and they're due next Sunday, the 25th. This is a ministry that we have from our families to needy families to help provide a holiday meal for them. So please feel free to take a box or two and provide as you can for another family. The Altar Guild has been having a bake sale today, and I think there's still a few items left. It's a great time to pick up some sweets and some treats and maybe some casseroles if they're still left for the holiday festivities of the week. The annual decorating of the sanctuary in Wilson Activity Center will be next Sunday, immediately following the 10:45 services. So this is always a great time of fellowship, so please, if you're able to stay and join in the festivities of decorating both of our worship places next Sunday. As the holidays approach, it is a wonderful time to bring friends and family to church to enjoy beautiful, inspiring music and messages, including brass, French horns, harps, just to name a few. Watch out for the upcoming services and special times that we have, and I think we're going to enjoy some this morning, so we're excited about that. And finally, the two red rosebuds placed here on the altar today by the Chancellor Choir. They're in honor of the birth of twins, Jay Wentworth Hill, Valerie Ruth Hill, born to Carrie and Justin Hill, the proud grandparents of Val and Dick Carr. So what a blessing with this addition to our church family. So look through the bulletin, the opportunities to serve this week of Thanksgiving. Now we invite you to greet each other and pass the peace of Christ. Please stand with me now as we join in the call to worship. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands.
Serve the Lord with gladness.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his holy name. Please remain standing for our hymn of praise and the children's processional. Come ye thankful people, come. Number 694. Please stand, if you will, and join in the Thanksgiving litany. We believe in God, creator of beauty, source of every breath, foundation of every movement. God leads us beside the still waters, makes us lie down in green splendor, and lets nature heal and restore us. We believe in Jesus Christ, who loved and least, the last and the lost. Christ loves us, calls us by name, and cleanses us from our sins. We believe in the Spirit, who gave us the multicultural community, gives us strong to sing, and prepares a feast for all. We live as God's people, filled with everlasting hope and showered with blessing. Amen. We want to remember the things we're thankful for, those less fortunate, and we particularly lift up those in our church family that are sick or hurting. They're listed in the bulletin there on the back page. Charlie Ward Sr., Brody Morgan, Mary Jane Patton, Clifford Smith, Larry Brown, Marilyn Thompson, Anita Curtis, Hugh Roberts, Helen Albright, Janet Brandt. Please remember these folks as we go to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray together. Our God and our Father, we have so much to be thankful for today. We live in a country where we can worship you without fear of retribution, or as in some countries, fear for our very lives. We gather together this morning to praise and worship you. knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ sits at your right hand. We are so thankful for your Holy Spirit that lives in us, your very presence constantly guiding and directing our paths. Help us to remember you always with us, and we will be our guide through any burden we are carrying. Yes, Father, we have so much to be thankful for today. Father, we ask blessings on this great nation. We pray for healing and unity. Help us to look at the similarities between each other and celebrate the differences in all of us, as we are all have a part to play in the body of Christ. Let us love each other as you love us. Today we pray for all of those who have been affected by the fire, by violence, by illness this past week. Give safety to those who protect us every day, such as those in our fire service and our police forces. Watch over them as they watch over us. And Lord, give safety to all who will be traveling this upcoming week as families gather together to celebrate and be thankful. We pray all of this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As our ushers come forward this morning for our morning offering, this week we will remember the blessings and the thankfulness that we have that's given to us from God. But this should be an every week and every day activity, not just once a year. Remember the blessings the Lord blesses each of us with and this church. And please join me now as we pray. Gracious God, we ask for blessings on this morning's tithes and offerings. Instill in us a giving heart as we look to your promise of blessings when we follow your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. please remain standing for a hymn of meditation? We gather together, number 131.
Please be seated. And it's at this point in our service that you can feel free to say amen from all of the wonderful music, the praise, the worship that we've had up to this point. Can you say that? Amen. Yes, it has been wonderful. And I get the distinct challenge of following all of that. Well, as you can see in the bulletin, the title of this morning's sermon is A Thankful Mind Set. A little bit of a play on words. Just hang on, and I think we'll get to where we can understand that. We think about setting things in our lives. We set a lot of stuff. We set an alarm clock to help us get up of a morning. Or after an afternoon nap. To get up, you know who you are, by the way. We even set our security alarms before we leave out of our homes. And if we have trouble with our right foot being a little bit heavier than our left foot, we set the cruise control on our vehicles to keep us from getting a ticket, Cindy. Yes, I just told on her. All of these and more things are things that we do to control our behavior or control the behavior of other people. And we've heard the old phrase, if you set your mind to something, you can achieve it. Well, setting our mind seems to be the first task that we have. If we want to accomplish our goals, we set our sights on it, and then we keep our eyes on it in order to achieve it, right? Whether it's a new car, an academic degree, graduating high school, or maybe just a dream vacation. But to do this, we got to be able to shut out, put blinders on, if you will, all of those negative thoughts that might distract us from achieving whatever we have our sights set on, right? Don't we all wish it was just that easy? Well, today, I want us to examine what it means to set our mind in a direction of being thankful. If you have your Bibles with you today, I invite you to turn to the book of Ephesians, Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus. We'll be reading out of chapter 5, beginning in verse 15. And I just pray that the reading of this scripture will bless you, and God blesses your heart with it. Beginning in verse 15. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Word of God for the people of God. This morning, in Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, and as well as if we studied and put the two books side by side, the two letters, also to the Colossians, we will see several contrasts as Paul talks about being thankful. However, we've got to back up one verse to see what we first must do. It is a requirement. Let's back up to verse 14. This is why it is said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. I guess it's easy to say, if our spirits are not alive, or as Paul says, awake, it's impossible to realize Christ is shining on us. Whether we're awake or whether we're asleep, Christ does shine on each and every one of us. If we were in a dark room, just as an example, it would be impossible for us to get up, wake up, get up, and rise from our beds and turn off the light. Unless you've got one of those clap on, clap off things, which I never understood anyway, never had one, don't understand them. If there's applause anywhere, the lights would just flicker, right? It's kind of like this. I heard a man describe his life before coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. He was an older man. And he said, looking back on his life, it was like he stumbled around in the dark. And he did so for many years before the light was turned on. Once that happened, he said he could see things much clearer and see the path that God had for him to follow. So as the scripture says this morning, first, we must awake and rise. Well, as we got into our scripture this morning, the next thing Paul talks about is time. Time. This is a hard question to ask, but how do we spend our time daily? Paul tells us to be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but wise. Do you know someone, and we all do, someone that just gets everything done that they set out to do? And conversely, someone who appears so scattered they don't get anything done, kind of like the wise and the unwise, right? Well, what would happen if we were to sit down and really evaluate how we spend our time? It might be alarming to all of us. For instance, and I'm going to step on my toes with this one, what about smartphones? Yes, I said the S word. How connected are you to your smartphone? Are you the type of person that halfway to work you realize you left your personal smartphone at the house and you turn around and you go back and get it? It used to be, oh, those were the days, that our phones just made telephone calls, and maybe yours was advanced and it got text messages too. I still have my Motorola flip phone, by the way. Got it in a box with a charger. Love that phone. And then all of a sudden, they started hooking into the internet. And you know what I'm getting ready to say now. I'm going to use that other S word, social media. Yeah. Somewhere in the 1990s was a shift, and it was a change in our society. In the 30s, 40s, 50s, and all the way up to that point, we lived in an information pull society. World War II, we went to movies and we saw the newsreels before the movies. We went to the libraries to get information and do research. Somewhere in the 60s, all of a sudden, we started getting real-time reporting on the battlefield in Vietnam. The advent of the internet in the late 70s and 80s all of a sudden started that shift. We could now go out and get the information. But in the 1990s, all of a sudden, we started getting bombarded. No longer was it a pull, but it was a push of information. We started getting information and blast, news blasts on our phone, whether we wanted them or not. And after email on smartphones made us instantly touchable, then came, Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, and whatever else, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And you know what I'm talking about. I sat in a meeting the other night, a district meeting, and a gentleman was making a presentation, but he made a plea to all of us. He said, as a parent, if you have a teenager, don't give them a smartphone. I saw a couple of teenagers up here go, no, don't say that. These smartphones, unsupervised, gives these teenagers and kids access to stuff we as parents and grandparents don't want them to have. We really need to be wise with our time, not unwise, as the Apostle Paul tells us. And this leads right into the why. Why do we need to be wise with our time? Well, Paul tells us because the days are evil. We have to admit, there's just some evil stuff out in the world that just screams for our attention, doesn't it? Spiritually, Satan knows. Satan knows what's facing him in the end. He knows that God is at work drawing his creation back to him. But even knowing that he eventually will be defeated, he, Satan, will do everything in the time that he has left to mess up as much stuff as he can and entice as many people away from God as he can. Each and every day, as Pastor Mary said in her sermon at 8:30 service, each and every day is a gift from God that he has given to us. If we view them as a gift, we can see that even in the evil days that we have, each day is redeemable for goodness to occur. So when we see the world through eyes that are awake, and we can be wise with our time, we can see the world truthfully and live in it wisely because, as we read in verse 17, we understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, let's not take that to minute detail, as we've often heard people do, that we're going to pray about which pizza that God wants us to have today, or we're going to pray about the next new car that God wants us to have, the brand Dodge or Chevy or GMC. Go GMC. It's just bigger than that. And that's what Paul is trying to get us to look at. If we read back in this, the first part of this letter that Paul is writing to the Ephesians, In the first chapter, verse 10, it states that states the will of God is to bring all things together in Christ. I want to say that again. The will of God is to bring all things together in Christ. That, in a nutshell, is God's goal. And in bringing all things together, God has tasked. He's given a task to the church to be a witness about his rich wisdom to the rest of the world. That's the good news. If we truly view our task as such, we should get excited. We should get excited and be thankful about the role God has for us in his master plan that he has revealed to us in and through Christ. Well, since our spirits have been awakened, we are no longer in the dark. We know living out God's plan for us and the church can't be done. It simply cannot be done without the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul talks about not being filled with wine. Being intoxicated keeps anyone from doing things the right way. But I believe Paul is going deeper than just talking about wine. Just like drinking too much can keep us from doing things correctly, what are the other things that we are overfilling our lives with that may be robbing us from having a thankful day? Think about it. Is it too much TV? Is it too much idleness? Is it too much, and here I'll step on my toes back here, I'll tell you, too much worry? Yeah, I have to admit, I worry about way too much. And I used to be terrible about it. I come about it genetically. My mother's hobby is worrying. I waste time, even still today, I waste time worrying. A friend of mine gave me some great advice a couple of years ago, and I'm going to pass it on to you. It was his secret to me. He said, "Doug, don't worry about things over which you have no control. Don't worry about things over which you have no control." Wow, how liberating could that just be? I'm thankful we have a God who's willing to take charge of the stuff that I don't have control over. And quite frankly, he does a better job with the stuff we do have control over than we ever do in the first place. I do believe that you and I have a secret to being truly thankful. But it's not something that we can do ourselves. It's not. We can fill our lives with many things. There are folks we all know that try different activities or different things in their search for happiness and fulfillment. But the secret that an awakened spirit understands is this. The secret is the source or the filler. Ephesians 4:10 says, "He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe." We can be filled with the fullness of God, something we cannot do on our own. God does it for us. This filling is the presence of God in us, the Holy Spirit. As we gather with our family and our friends during this Thanksgiving week, let us be truly thankful that our days are filled with the very presence of God. We have a task that God has given us as a church and as individuals. Therefore, it is not a mindset, but it is a setting of the mind It's a setting of the mind to the things of Christ and sharing His good news to all who need to see it in our lives and all who need to hear about this secret that you and I have. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Our hymn of commitment is hymn number 102. Now thank we all our God. That's a tongue twister. We're going to be singing verses 1 and 2 only. So if you would stand. If there's anyone here that would like to join with this church this morning and be a part of this faith family, now's the time to come forward and we will accept you by whatever means is appropriate. And if you'd like to spend time at our prayer rail, what is left that's not taken up by our wonderful brass this morning, I invite you to come forward and spend some time at our prayer rail if God is telling you that you need to do that and inviting you. So let's all sing together hymn number 102. Thank you all for being here this morning. It is so wonderful to have the praise and worship that we've had this morning. Thank you very, very much for being here in choir. Thank you for the wonderful music. Yes. And if you heard sour notes, that was me singing along over there. I don't know if my mic was hot or not, but yeah, I was singing right along. It was great. This coming Advent season, we're going to have a lot of wonderful, wonderful praise and worship, just like we've had this morning. Tell your friends. Tell those people that aren't here. You missed one this morning. You missed one. It was great. Let's fill this sanctuary during this Advent season and praise God for it. Would you please bow your head and receive this blessing? Father, I thank you for this time that we could spend with you this morning. But Lord, it's not just here. We carry your very presence out of this sanctuary in the Holy of Holies, inside of each and every one of us, your Holy Spirit. Help us to tune our ears to that Spirit, Father, so we can be guided along the path and we won't be distracted to the left or to the right by the things of this world, helping us to keep our eyes on you. That is our goal this week. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.